say, well, Pastor, what's so special about the cross? You see, if you were to go back over 2,000 years ago and you were to present the Jewish people with a cross, in their mind, the cross was an execution tool.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, in the studio with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church. And New Life Community Church is a unique place. And Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody out there who may not have a church home or who's been listening online or they've been listening on the radio and they want to grow in their faith?
Yeah, I would say find a good church, gospel preaching, Jesus honoring, faith-filled, love-filled church. And there's some great churches around Chicagoland, and I'm friends with a lot of great pastors that really love Jesus and are in this city. But we'd invite you also, if you don't know where to go, we'd love for you to check out one of our locations in and around Chicagoland area. And if you get onto our website, you can go to our site that says, our page that says locations, and you'll have a map of Chicagoland, and you can find one of our locations that's near you. We'd love to have you visit. And if you do, please let the pastor know that you heard about this through Straight Talk. We love to hear how our radio listeners give us some feedback.
If you say, I love God, I have a heart for God, I really haven't connected with the Church of Jesus, we want to challenge you to visit, at least just take a visit to a good gospel preaching church. And as Pastor Mark said, if you don't know where to go, come visit us. You can find out more information at www.newlifechicago.org. God bless you.
Thanks, Josh. Well, everybody, tonight we are concluding our series on habits, disciplines that make a difference, with the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Worship and Adoration. Our text will be found in the book of Revelations, chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
God the Father, this being in splendor sitting on the throne, has a book that has seven seals that are closing it up. It must be an important book to be in the right hand of God. And it says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open up the book and to break its seals? You say, well, Mark, what is this book that was in the right hand of God? Oh, well, this book represents the unfolding of the future. It represents judgment that's to come. It represents justice that's to come. It represents the triumph of the kingdom of light over the kingdom of darkness. It represents everything that's crooked made straight. It represents the final chapters of humanity. It represents the unfolding of God's will on earth. It's the book. And unless this book is open, things can't be made right. The final chapters can't be unveiled. Unless this book is open, darkness will prevail. Unless this book is open, unrighteousness will triumph. Unless this book is open, sin will be devastating. Unless this book is open, that which is crooked will not be made straight. And so John understands this in his spirit, verse 4. And he says, I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or even to look into it. So John the apostle in this vision begins to weep. Have you ever seen someone weep uncontrollably? Heave. Sob. John the Apostle is weeping uncontrollably. Why? Because he knows if no one can open this book, we are doomed. If no one can unseal this, then history will be blighted. Then the end is abysmal. If no one can open this book, then we're all in trouble. And John weeps and sobs because no one, they look on heaven and on earth and no one is worthy. It tells us, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open it or even to look into the book. There's no good person that was worthy. There's no Mother Teresa able to open the book. There's no Gandhi or Martin Luther that was able to do it. There's no hero in humanity There's no child in their innocence. There's no wise man with goodness and kindness that can open the book. There's no angelic being that can open the book. There's no older person or younger. There's no woman or man able to open the book. There is no one worthy to open the book. No one that's able to approach it and take it out of the hand of God Almighty and say, I will open it. No one in all of history, not on earth, not in heaven, not under the earth. There is no one in all of existence able to open the book. They've done a thorough search and no one is to be found. And then John says, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah. The root of David has overcome. So as to open the book and its seven seals. See, the elder says, stop, John, don't cry. We found him. We found him. We found the one that's worthy to make things right. We found the one that's righteous. We found the one that has power to do it. We found him. He's called the Lion of Judah. He's called the Root of Jesse, of David. We found the one that can take the scroll out of the hand of God Almighty. Only one, not two, not three, not many, only one that's able to do so. And he says, and I saw, so John looks up through tear-stained eyes, stops heaving, and he looks at the throne, and he says, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, I saw what? I saw a lamb. A lamb? Yeah. A little white lamb. And the lamb, he says, was standing as if it was slain. So the lamb was alive and standing, but John could see that this lamb had been slain. Stains of blood on its wool coat. A lamb that had been slaughtered, but yet lived. And he says, this lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And you see the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it relates to those seven. Seven is the number of perfection. And he says, and he came, who came? The lamb came. And he took it, he approached the throne of the living God. No one was able to even come close to this throne. No one was able to look unto the seal. No one was able to approach this throne. And this lamb, this small slain lamb, approaches the throne of God Almighty. And he takes the book out of the hand, the right hand of God Almighty. And he came and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures, the angels around, and the 24 elders, they all fall down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sang a new song. You see, something is happening in glory that's never happened before. Something that up until this time has never occurred in all of history and humanity. Something revolutionary. Something pivotal in the story of redemption. The Lamb. And the Bible tells us that they all fall and suddenly they sing a new song. A song that they have never sung before. A song that they have never uttered before. This is a new song. This is a brand new song with new lyrics. And listen to what they say. They say, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals. For thou wast slain and did purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God. And they will reign upon the earth. They sing a new song. And in this song they sing, hey, you are worthy. Why are you worthy? Because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased, you bought. What did you buy? You bought for God with thy blood men, people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You see, there will be thousands upon thousands of people from every tribe, tongue, and nation that have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Do you understand that? That there'll be people from Africa and people from Asia, and there'll be people from Australia and people from places on earth that you can't even pronounce the name. Myriads upon myriads of thousands of people before the Lamb, and they've been purchased. You can't speak their language. They look different from each other, but they've been purchased. The word purchase is from the word redeemed. Redeemed means that they've been bought again. You have a coupon. You say, I'm going to redeem this coupon. The same root word. It means that you have bought it again, purchased it again, paid a price to get it back. People from every tribe, tongue, and nation before. And he says, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests, and they will reign upon earth. And as I looked, I heard a voice of many angels around the throne and the living creature and the elders. And a number of them was myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands. They come before the throne. And they say with a loud voice, all together, echoing together. And what are they saying? They're saying, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all things in them, I heard all of the universe, all of creation saying to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying amen, and the elders fell down and they worshiped. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that the pivotal place of Christianity is the cross. You see, there's two physical symbols that Jesus taught us that have been practiced since the days of the early church. And it's interesting because I believe that typically God hasn't given us a lot of symbols, a lot of physical symbols. I think partly because we're driven to make those symbols holy. Some people sometimes walk in this auditorium and say, boy, I'm going to give to the building fund because why? They can't even afford statues in this place. They walk in and say, you know, there should be at least a little statue over here, a little statue over there, a couple statues over here. I mean, this place doesn't look that holy.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Worship and Adoration, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as the entire series and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Worship and Adoration.
You see, we avoid statues in part because Scripture says you shall have no graven image before me. And my experience with holy statues or relics is that people start looking to those statues as holy images. And I've been to country after country and place after place where people have gone and they kiss the statues and touch them and they pray to them. And they begin to think that there's some power in the statue itself. Even our crosses that we have are empty. Why are they empty? They're empty because I'm concerned that if we put a statue of a Jesus on the cross, that people would look to that Jesus and somehow their faith would be distorted into thinking that that statue, that that particular statue has magical or supernatural powers and would begin to cross the line of idolatry. So the crosses you see in this place, they're empty crosses. But we do believe in the cross. In fact, we believe that the cross is the pivotal place of worship now and in glory. You say, well, Pastor, what's so special about the cross? You see, if you were to go back over 2,000 years ago and you were to present the Jewish people with a cross, in their mind, the cross was an execution tool. It's as though if we were to have an electric chair on stage and say, isn't that great? Because in the days of the Roman, this was a cruel artifact of torture and slow death. And we have sanitized it a bit, and we've cleaned it up a bit, so that now oftentimes we see images of the cross, and it's Jesus with a little blood trickling down his hands or his feet, and sort of a Hollywood face and blue eyes on the cross, not in much agony. But I want to tell you that the real cross was an instrument of slow, torturous death. That the real cross was engineered, crucifixion was engineered so that people would die slowly. The whole objective of crucifixion was that it would be a slow, agonizing, shameful death. They were crucified naked upon the cross. And their legs were placed in such a place that they could still breathe. But it was slow, arduous, torturous. It was meant to shame people as they died. It was meant to instill terror so that no one that saw the dying victim would venture to do what that victim had done. It was crucifixion. But you see, to us as believers, this cross has become the symbol of our power. It has become the pivotal point of our redemption. Not the cross itself, but what happened on that cross. Because the cross is symbolic of blood that was shed for us. And it's interesting to me that Jesus instituted two elements that have physical signs to them. One is baptism, and the other is the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper. And both of them go back to the cross. You realize when we take someone and we put them all the way down in the water and bring them all the way up, that we're talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, it'd be a lot easier, a lot less trouble. And they have a baptistry like this, it'd be a lot less trouble if we just sprinkled someone. Yeah, but you see, you miss the picture. Because as someone goes down into water, it's supposed to symbolize that that person is dead to their old self, no longer to live. And as they come up out of the water, they're alive and clean unto their new self. You see, the cross is this. You cannot be a Christian without going to the cross. And you cannot go to the cross without dying. The message of Jesus is this, not add God to your life as a heavenly, jolly Santa Claus that'll help fulfill the wishes in your life as you move along in life. That's not the message of the cross. The message of Christianity is this, when you come to Jesus, you die in order that you may live. But your life comes to a screeching halt, a stop. A death, a crucifixion, so that your old self is dead and you are resurrected to a new self. You don't add God to your life. Your life is no longer yours. It's not your life. It's not your dreams. It's not your relationships. It's God. You've died to yourself. Jesus said, if you want to come and follow me, anyone wants to come and follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In other words, he must die to himself. That's the message of the cross. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds pretty tough. Yeah, it is. In fact, Jesus put it this way, the way that leads to life is narrow, and there are few people on it. The way that leads to death is wide, and destruction, there's a lot of people on it. You see, the reason the path is narrow that leads to life is if you're going to come to Jesus, there's a death that happens to yourself. You say, well, that sounds tough, that sounds hard, but here's the thing. As you die to yourself, you really begin to live. He that loves his life shall lose it, but he that gives his life will gain it. The other symbolism that Jesus gave us is not only baptism that points back to the cross, but he also gave us the Lord's Supper that points to the cross as well. And when we take of the bread and we take of the cup, we're pointing to the cross. It's all about cross-centered worship. Baptism points to the cross. The Lord's Supper points to the cross. Believers have been doing it for over 2,000 years, ever since Jesus instituted it at Passover. Do you remember the Last Supper, we call it? The disciples gathered around to celebrate the Passover. It was a Jewish tradition that had been celebrated ever since the Jewish people had been liberated from Egypt in bondage. And do you remember what happened when the angel of death went through the streets, taking the firstborn? Every family, the Jewish family, would slaughter a lamb without blemish and would take the blood of that lamb and they would sprinkle it on the doorpost of their house. Blood of a lamb. And then when the angel of death came by, the angel of death would spot the blood of the lamb and the angel would what? Passover, would skip, thus the name Passover feast. The angel would pass over that house and not bring judgment upon it. But you see, here's the thing. That was just a shadow predicting that Jesus was coming. That was just a shadow saying the real lamb is coming and the real blood is coming. That was just symbolic of what was going to be coming in the future. Hundreds of years later, there would be a lamb that would be slaughtered called Jesus Christ the Messiah. And his blood would trickle down upon a cross. And every human being that allows themselves to be sprinkled with that blood, the angel of judgment also passes over their life. You say, well, Mark, where do I get that blood? I mean, it was 2,000 years ago. Are there vials of that blood around? Does it still exist? Is it somewhere that I can touch it? Well, the Gospels tell us that the way that blood is sprinkled on your life is via the brush of faith. You see, when you believe and receive that gift and say, sprinkle me, Jesus, with that blood, I receive it upon my life. I receive its washing and its cleansing. Faith is the way that we receive the sprinkling upon our life. And when judgment comes, God looks at the blood that's sprinkled upon our life. And the judgment of God goes elsewhere because we have been sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb. And so when we take of the bread and when we take of the communion cup, we are celebrating that Jesus came and gave his body and Jesus came and gave his blood. It's cross-centered worship. And here's the point. I know you worship. I'm trying to get you in the habit of worshiping, but I want you to worship for, I want you to praise God for more than just good things that happen in your life. I want you to praise God for more than just nice things in the weather in a parking space. I want it to be Christ-centered, cross-centered worship. I want you at your workspace on Monday morning to be able to think, right now, there's a worship service going on in glory. And I can peek through and I can join it for just a moment. I want you to be driving down the expressway and realize that before the throne of God, there's a worship service happening. And wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, I can pause and I can break through the curtain of heaven and I can join the angels that are worshiping before the throne of God. And I have access to the throne of God because I have been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. I'm not shut out. I'm not closed out. I'm not told to wait in the foyer because I have access to the throne of God because I have been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? That should make us want to worship God. So here's what we're going to do as we wrap our time together. We're going to partake of communion this morning. And we're going to close our service with this. And I want to challenge you and remind you as we go into this 40-day season before Easter, this is a time to examine our hearts, and it's a time to look at our lives. It's our time to once again remember and celebrate what he's done for us and ask ourselves, God, am I walking worthy of your name? Am I walking in surrender to you, Lord Jesus? The cross is a symbol of surrender.
Well, that concludes this message on worship and adoration. It also concludes our series. habits, disciplines that make a difference. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. Please do have a wonderful weekend and join us again on Monday. God bless.